Crossface.
The Daily Talk Show. A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 219.
Fat Fridays.
It's a new benchmark.
Yeah, well, it's just happened naturally.
Mm.
It's evolved. We are currently sitting out the front of a Donut King. No sponsor, huh?
Not just any Donut King. It's the Donut King at Stud Park in Roeville.
Well, how have we ended up here?
Well, we had a shoot today in Cranbourne. It's not that often that we're in the southeast.
No, this is quite far out from where our HQ is. So, yeah, we're making the most of it.
Yeah, and so given that we were in the burbs, we thought we'd take the opportunity to have the full burb experience.
Yeah, it is a funny thing, having microphones sitting in a public place. I'm too out of it. Like, as in, I'm too in the environment of doing this stuff and seeing it and being in the industry for too long, where I can't grasp what
punters would be thinking.
Well, yeah, I can't grasp. I'm a punter in most of my life, but that's one area that I'm definitely not a punter. So I don't – the curiosity, like, that just drags your eyes along as they walk past, just watching you.
I'd be pretty curious about what's going on too. If I see a camera – if I see something going on, I'm like, what are they shooting?
Do you think they're wondering because of some danger or something bad going on? Or they're just thinking, I wonder what they're actually recording, what they're talking about?
I think that the whole idea that terrorists use cameras and microphones is fucking dumb. Don't you think?
Yeah, that is true. So this place is like a mini shopping centre.
It's a shopping centre, yeah.
Well, it's a mini one in comparison to the big ones like Knox and Southland, Chadston, Bondi Junction, all of those places. So this is like a couple of like fruiteries, and it's pretty. This would have been a dingy one back in the day. It's kind of it's upmarket now, but it's still got some of that old sort of charm. It's got an old hair pro. It's called the Studio Hair Pro. I.e. get your fresh cuts and just your chiseled lines. There's a bunch of teenage kids just waiting for their haircuts at the moment. But also like the shoe repair shops that have...
They sell pens as well.
Yeah, and they do the key cutting. I mean, they're so convenient to get your keys cut. But I can see, Josh, they've got a Zippo lighter kit. And that's nostalgia.
What's the...
So in a Zippo lighter kit, Zippo is just the brand of the lighter.
Yeah.
And so it comes with the Zippo, but it also comes with some of the flint.
Mm-hmm. What's flint?
Flint is the bit that you that creates the spark.
Okay.
And so
fuel source?
No, well, no. It's the thing that lights the fuel. Okay. So it's a spark.
Okay, it's a spark.
So you can get, it comes in like these, picture like a grey lead pencil, one of the refillable ones. So you just slide the piece of grey lead in, you can pump it out a bit. So it's a similar thing. It has these little bits of flint and then it's got the fuel. But my brother had one and I just remember like the elder brother having the thing that you just like, that is the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen.
Because you could make the flames quite big as well, couldn't you?
Well, you can... I can't remember. I don't remember. You can do that with lighters, but these are like you put the fuel into the bottom and then it's like a very old school lighter.
I remember using one at my Nana and Pa's. Like, I think that they, like, once they've lost their spark, they're still a fun toy for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because you just flick them or something.
So you held them and it's almost like a click and you can open them. There's tricks that people do with it. But there is one other thing. And this show is just pretty much based on observations today.
Yeah.
But I am seeing it's a flyer that's stuck up on Donut King.
Oh.
What's the flyer? Can you see it?
It says PCW Wrestling Iron Man Lucas Daniels versus Mark Cage.
Yeah.
So are you fucking kidding me?
Do you know what it is?
Is it like wrestling in the burbs?
Oh, my God. So... WWF, WWE, the big stuff.
Do you know
Rock.
Why WWF changed to WWE?
Worldwide Federation. Why?
I believe that there was a trademark issue with WWF, which is the panda, like the environmental
thing,
which is why they changed it.
So I was a big fan of WWF as a kid.
Yeah.
In Australia, probably late '90s, early 2000s, you could watch it. No, it'd be early 2000s. You could watch it on free-to-air television, but it was on really late at night. Like after, it was probably 12:30 a.m.
Oh, really?
And I remember staying up to watch the wrestling, and I just made it. It was like, I was so tuckered out.
What was your favourite wrestler?
Well, I had...
Like the Kane, was he on the...
No, Hulk Hogan days, that was like pre...
Wasn't Hulk Hogan WWC?
Yeah, that was real old school, but then when it came to, I think it was WWF, like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, it was great.
Undertaker.
316, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you understand what he's talking about there?
No, I didn't. Had no clue. I just loved it. Just a bunch of men... in, you know, small little outfits, just jumping around, beating the shit out of each other. And you think it's entirely real as a kid.
Yeah.
And it was always like, and I will say, the wrestlers fucking beat themselves up. Like it is, but it's not like a UFC fight. It's not full, I'm trying to be careful because I understand how hard it is, but I also know that it is not the UFC. It's staged and it's choreographed, but there is an element of danger to it. So they are fucking breaking chairs over each other's backs and shit. But when I was working for Triple M, the Rush Hour, which is a Melbourne-based afternoon show hosted by James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. They've just changed time slots. They're like 3 to 4 or 2 to 4 or something like that. And it's only, I think they're on during the sporting time of the year, like footy season.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I'd do was I'd find stories. I had no idea what I was doing. They gave me this thing. They were like, yeah, we'll give you a job. You can go out and do these segments.
I never knew this about you.
No, I haven't. Yeah, I probably haven't told you because it was almost the first thing. So the way I even got into working with the radio station was through getting a job through the Rush Hour. I was a segment contributor.
So like you're like a roving reporter.
Roving reporter. They pay... I was expecting to do it for free.
What were they paying you?
And he's like, oh, no, we'll pay you $100 a segment.
Great.
I was like, mate, 100%, I'm doing that. $100, I'd invoice them. But here's the catch. Can you go get us a story? So I'd have to go and do – like I didn't no idea what I was doing. So I went off and I'd find these quirky things. I'd look on the internet, you know, like I did things like what's it called? The rally, the Birdman rally at Moomba Festival.
Where you jump off into the water?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I went to the ice bar in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a bit of a man
where
about
is the
town.
Ice? Is that the one in Fitzroy?
There is one out that way. This was in the city. What else did I go to? You know, like red carpet events.
And how would you intro the bits?
So it was actually great. I would come into the studio.
Oh, that's cool.
It was fucking amazing. And they would say, we got our man about town, Tommy Jacket, in the studio. And
who was on the show then?
James and Billy.
Oh,
so,
great.
JB, who used to host the footy show in the Victoria, the AFL footy show.
Man about town, Tommy Jacket's in.
Yeah,
Triple M,
man,
mate.
Tommy Jacket's here.
What's
been happening, mate? And I was like, oh, Billy, JB, I was out. You wouldn't believe it.
It's very high status to have you in the studio.
It was amazing. I fucking lost it. But it was just for a small time. It's a great opportunity.
How many segments did you do?
I think I did 12 in the end.
What's that? 1,200?
1,200, mate. Content creator. Just man about town.
How much time did you spend on each segment?
Oh, way too much. I was getting paid $10 an hour.
So you were? How long would the segments be? What was the format?
Segment would be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and I'd go away and I'd create a bit.
Yeah.
And I'd sit with the audio engineer. And he would cut it together. So I'd do vox pops.
Yeah.
So I'd come up with a quirky angle, and go out and have an idea of how I wanted the montage to go together, and then the audio engineer would stitch it all together for me, and I'd sit in there with him. He probably didn't want to have to do it, but he did it, and then I'd come onto the show, and then they'd throw to it. So this is one that I didn't actually get up because I didn't get every one of them up.
Would you get the hunji if you didn't get it up or not?
Nah. It was 100 if it went on air.
so you record the audio sometimes?
Yeah. And which
you're not doing
great.
It for the coin. You're doing 100%. It because it's a thing that every single time you get it up, it's a good experience.
Yeah. I was on Melbourne radio. Like, heaps of people heard it, which was kind of cool. And so the wrestling thing, I thought, okay, here's this underground world of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think too much. Like, that's all I kind of thought. Oh, that would be interesting. They actually do what is like on the big screen, you know, the WWE, WWF. They do this in Melbourne.
What sort of venues?
So I got this. I found this place. I did the producing for it. I found the event organizer, who was also one of the wrestlers. And I got in touch with him and he invited me. And I was out like over the West Gate, like Thomastown, like out in the burbs. So suburbs of Melbourne. And it was in this like old hall, like Masonite hall, like some weird old club hall.
Yeah.
Real dingy, right? And I got there.
If you hear that noise, I think
someone's ordered... guy. He's cutting some keys.
Oh, that's what it is. I thought someone was making a coffee at Donut King.
I'm just having my keys cut. It should be done by then. But so anyway, got to this event and I was there by myself. And I do a lot of these by myself. Sometimes I brought some friends just to keep me company for in between. And I didn't know what I was going to do at this. But I just – the reason I bring it up is because it was such an experience. It was like I walked into this world where you're seeing these grown-ups just fulfilling some childhood dream. It was the me watching the fucking wrestling as a kid, staying up late, but then taking it a little far.
And it's all amateur.
Total amateur. So it's like – the stinkiest change rooms, the dudes in like short shorts, like shittiest bodies, amateur. You haven't got your Rocky, John Cena, fucking epic rigs.
So you had like a little microphone that
I had like a Zoom kit.
Like the Zoom H1
I had my like a mic like this.
Yeah.
And I'd be in there, no headphones.
Did you have a Triple M like mic flag or something?
I had a Triple M mic flag to give me a bit of clout. And I just talked to these people and I just remember feeling like, it's almost like for some reason I felt a bit of a deep sadness being in this environment where
it
was like...
when you go underworld.
You see some weird dudes.
Yeah.
And I say weird and I don't mean like idiots or like...
Yeah. Just quirky.
I am maybe judging them, but I'm also fascinated that these people have found this thing and it's like a little... It's a community.
Yeah.
You know, one was talking about his injuries, you know, I've been training too hard. They're getting paid nothing.
Was there a drinking culture around it?
No, the people weren't drinking.
The athletes weren't?
The athletes weren't drinking, but the people were coming. And so you're having this tone of clientele that are rocking up. They've got their, you know, drinking their jimmies as well. So there is it's like a canteen. You're getting your hot chips. It's like a local sporting event. We should go to one night.
I was thinking, not only could we go to one, maybe we could get you to play some sort of cameo role. Would you be up for that? If like for a celebration of a big episode?
I'd do it. I just found it so bizarre. And I don't know if I want to be amongst that sweat and the stinkiness and all that effort.
You're just coming in to do one bit. What about would you MC the night for them or something?
I'd rather actually be in the ring.
In the ring.
You'd love to MC it.
Nah, I just feel like you got the hair to be able to MC a big microphone, sort of the blazer. And so it never got up, never got on air.
That segment, I think I actually just recorded a few bits and I was like, I'm not getting anything. I've found that sometimes I can get into a negative spiral where I get there and I'm like, can't get anything. Nah.
Yeah.
It's like, but in reflection, it was like...
What were you expecting?
I don't know. I was expecting... Maybe I wasn't expecting... I don't know what I was expecting. But what I didn't expect is what it was. And what it was probably the angle for the segment, talking about how weird it was.
It's probably more interesting.
Which is more interesting, but I didn't have the perspective at that time. And I was probably a bit nervous that I didn't want to sort of shit on these people and say, how weird are these dudes who are doing this thing that just... For no money.
What sort of questions were you asking them? Do you remember? Were you finding out like what their previous job, like what their jobs are?
Nah.
Is it like the doctor who, you know?
See, I didn't even have that perspective. I used to come up with a line of questioning that I knew I could actually make something out of.
Yeah.
It wasn't as like wide as that.
Yeah, sure.
Which makes sense to go sort of. But because if I went in now going, this is a weird thing that these people are doing.
Yeah.
Let's look into the people that they are Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And then they come out as these characters on a Saturday.
Where we should do something about that, don't you think? We could create some form of content.
Yeah, I think there would be some quirky people that are like an accountant.
Can you see what date that event is? Or
that date, Saturday, 15th of December.
Okay.
There's absolutely no chance I'm going to that. That's my wife's birthday.
I thought, isn't that a reason to double down? Real treat for Amy.
Amy, we're going to the wrestling. What do you mean, like the WWE? No.
Do you really think that would be her next question? Like the WWE?
No, but maybe she was just thinking like the ones that are actually like famous, like The Rock. You're talking about like The Rock, the famous guy, most famous guy in the world.
You know, we're talking about the WWF thing and the trademark stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just reminded me of something I found out the other day.
Yeah.
In-N-Out. So In-N-Out Burger.
Best burgers in America.
Yeah, in the US. Amazing. And they do pop-up shops in Australia.
Yeah, right? I think I was mentioning it on when we were over in the States. They had that one that was like sold out in 1 hour, as in Paran or Windsor in Melbourne.
And they've done them in Sydney. They do them all over the place. And every single time In-N-Out happens, like they do the pop-up, I hear all my mates that we're all saying – they're coming, like, this is research, they're going to be here very soon.
Well,
this
makes sense.
Yeah, why else would you do it?
Yeah, why else? They haven't come here yet, though.
Yeah, so I was speaking to a friend of mine who's the intellectual property lawyer, and she was saying the reason that they do it is because to own the trademark of a specific brand, you need to be actually doing some form of business in the country. So they do the In-N-Out pop-ups as a way of having some showing the brand in the Australian market.
Jeez. See, this is the thing. I wonder if any of the people who've been to it have tried In-N-Out in America. Because I want to know. Because if you'd think that if they're actually just doing it for that reason, that they need to do it well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. If you're doing it for that reason alone, I'm sure they're losing money on it. Because they have to get, like, what produce are they using?
Are they flying it out? So many questions I need answered.
Surely we can find someone who can answer. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you've got any In-N-Out burger scoops around the whole Australian thing. But I thought that was an interesting fact. Yes.
Well, I'm fucking disappointed because I wanted In-N-Out here in Australia.
But you would probably... Do you think it would be something you'd eat a lot if it was here?
Yeah, well, with how many times I've eaten Macca's in the last couple of months?
You brought it up. The double quarter pounder, you having them, what, once a week?
Well, no, it's just there was once a week for 2 weeks. And then before that, maybe it was a month before that.
Yeah.
But I went through a period of not eating McDonald's for so many years. Mm. And then Conspiracy Jimmy, me and him, we just love punching a few pints and then hitting Macca's. It's so good.
I think the people who bag out Macca's are probably ill-informed.
Well, here's the thing. This is my realisation. And I've eaten the best burgers around, I would think, at some of the most expensive places. Mm-hmm. Not like I think I've just gone to good restaurants, plus been to America where there's so many good burgers. McDonald's, it is crazy the flavour. Like, if you look at it purely from consistency of flavour, like and the texture of when you're chewing it, it's evil. It's like, if you think about it.
Isn't it funny how that when we talk about McDonald's, that's the only way that we can speak about it?
What, saying it's
like
evil?
Justifying us. Like I know that are they that evil?
Well, I mean, what I'm describing is a perfect tasting burger. Perfect is subjective, but perfect meaning consistent, like soft. I think they've done this thing where they were looking at like what makes the best burger. It's like the how you can chew something, and like the what do you call it, the texture adds to what makes a perfect burger, the flavor, the consistency, all these things, right? The heat. And Macca's try and hit it all because that's like they're so systemized they can do it.
It's very scientific.
When I say evil, it means that's why, like, they sell so many burgers. So there's a lot
Isn't it funny that we've turned a company into selling burgers is evil. I reckon if an alien came in and viewed it, they'd be like, who are the champs who have worked out this consistency? But I was just going to say, I remember when I saw Super Size Me, and I was just the documentary. It would have been like 2006.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it. That's Michael Moore?
No, that's Morgan Spurlock.
Okay.
And he, haven't you seen it?
Years and years ago. Give me the rundown.
He eats McDonald's for a month.
And he goes and gets those tests and has his blood. Yes, I have. I remember him in the doctor's thing. Yeah, they're saying, you got to stop.
I remember I was so fancy. It was around here. It was in Knox. I didn't even grow up in Knox, but I didn't drive because I was too young at that time. But my mum dropped us at Knox, I think, because it was a Cinema Europa film. Oh, yeah. I thought, I'd never seen an independent film in my life. I remember seeing that documentary and I was just blown away. You got some donut burps.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, but I was just
blown away by it.
It's coming out.
I had to go back to the car.
Yeah,
because of the my phone. I'd left my phone in the car, basically your car, and I was trying to work out which one was your car. I couldn't find it straight away. And
do you not even know what brand my car is?
I don't know how to say. Is it Hyundai or Hyundai?
I say Hyundai.
Hyundai. Okay.
Oh, what a feeling. Hyundai.
No, that's Toyota.
Mate, I fucking do what I want.
I know you'll do what you want. But no, reminded me of the first time that I was at a... The funny thing is you weren't even trying to be funny then and you fucked it up.
Yeah, I was.
First time I was ever in the city as a kid... First time I was ever in the city. Well, actually, when I was 18, I had my driver's license.
Yeah.
It was November 2008, and I was doing some films. It was actually for someone who was running for Lord Mayor, and you think that's really funny? It is pretty funny.
I committed to that so hard.
you jumped as well. I parked in the city.
Yeah.
One of those like all day parking sort of garages.
Yeah.
Parked my car. It was like a 40 degree day. Got all my camera gear. I had like a Pelican case and had to, you know, walk to this specific location.
Yeah.
Anyway, once the shoot was done, 2 hours later, went back to the car park.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find my ticket. Do you know what that means if you don't find your ticket? If you don't find your parking ticket to be able to get out?
There's a set fee.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
It was like $55.
That's annoying. Did you get like the early bird parking?
Yeah, it was nowhere near it was going to be to cost me $55.
That's so fucking annoying. I think I've talked about this. The old hack around the car parking. At the Melbourne airport, it was being used. I think it got picked up on like probably 10 years ago. But people were parking in short term, like right near the gates, check-in, which you're only meant to be there for like a day or it's super, super expensive.
Yeah.
But there was no people were saying they lost their tickets. And so then they'd get charged $55 and they'd been there for a week.
Oh, so crazy.
I spoke to a few people that did it.
Did you ever do it?
No. I didn't have my license. Did I have my license then? No, I didn't have my license then. I didn't need to ever go there. But until, like now there's more cameras and stuff. So this would have been before cameras, before the automated like number plate scans.
I just paid the $55 and I was spewing about it. But I paid the money, I got my new ticket and the security guy felt sorry for me. And I just said, can you just show me where the lift is because I need to go down, you know, one level. He says, we don't have a lift. I said, no, you do, because I went in the lift to come up. He said, no, we don't have a lift. It turns out I was at the wrong fucking car park.
So you bought the
So I bought the $55 ticket and I'm in the wrong car park.
Jesus.
And I said, I argued with him for a second. He said, no, it was definitely Wilson's on Flinders Lane. And he said, we have 5 Wilson car parks on Flinders Lane.
Oh,
I had no idea about the city. So I had to then walk to every single Wilson's car park.
Yeah.
To try and, on Flinders Lane, to try and find it.
There's a similarity between being 18 years into life and 18 years
fucking clueless
to the end of your life. You're doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Losing your ticket, rocking at the wrong place. Dude, you aren't one of the most observant people in that respect. Like, not knowing what my car and that kind of stuff. We were at your mum's place before. I was like, oh, is that spa got any water in it? What spa?
Yeah.
It's a complete jacuzzi, like elevated out of the ground.
The funny thing is, when you actually said spa, I thought their pool must have had a spa built in. But even the funny thing is, that doesn't excuse the fact that I couldn't see the spa. I never saw the spa. I don't observe that.
Well, you that pick up things on a lot, and it's probably more like people's actions and things that are being said, and you store, like, so you're observant and you hold information. I'm the opposite. I walk in somewhere, I've already sort of marked the exits and like done a few checks and like thought about what that person's car was and where their keys, like I do that kind of, that's my quirk.
Yeah.
Like especially directions and things like that of where someone's house is. So I that's my sort of observation, and then shit goes over my head. But
it can be a quality that's good because you're not getting distracted by heaps of shit.
Yeah, true.
But also can be a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Well, if you've got, so you're keeping space for something else.
Mm.
If we look at our brains, is it like our memory or this is a tank? Like I'm filling it up with a bunch of stuff.
Dumb shit. But I am also doing the same. What was your version of this shop here? What would you? Yeah. What did you go to as a kid?
Yeah, so that's probably why I'm trying to explain this place, because I didn't have this stuff. These aren't in. So the closest one is a place called the Dendy, which was in Brighton.
Was that the cinemas as well?
So the cinemas. So I was spoiled. Being able to go to Chapel Street, mecca of Melbourne.
So you go to the Jam Factory.
Capital, yeah. So there was the Jam Factory, which is different. It kind of just had maybe one clothes shop and some, like, the Pancake Parlour and all that stuff.
Jam Factory. Just so, do you know, it was something that I just worked out.
Yeah.
You know how I have Melbourne Geek, which has gone down for some reason. I need to work out what happened. My Melbourne Geek email address gets a bunch of emails all the time, like PR requests and shit. But I haven't updated, like, as me being like a tech journalist tech blogger, I haven't done anything with it in like probably 7 years. Anyway, I just realized that I saw an email. I actually decided to open one of them, and it was someone inviting me to like preview screenings of Robin Hood. Like they've been sending me... emails inviting me to all the preview screenings at Jam Factory.
That's great. So this brings it back to the days of doing the stories for the Rush Hour.
Yeah.
What I did was I didn't even have that. What I used to do was email people telling them that I was Tommy Jacket, roving reporter from the Rush Hour, and I created a signature that had the logo of Triple M in there.
What would you get out of it? What would you get?
I tried to get on PR lists that would send exactly what you're saying, and you didn't even ask them.
Yeah.
I was knocking on doors saying, making friendships, trying to get on lists.
Did it work?
So, 100%.
Should we do that? I was thinking about with the Melbourne Geek, given I've got all this stuff, I was thinking maybe we email those people and say, hi, I now do a podcast.
Great idea.
Should we do maybe a movie a fortnight or something where you and I go to it and we do I do a segment?
It'd be great.
Is that too much of a commitment?
Is the real world problem for a father. Going to the movies is the biggest luxury on earth.
Oh, we'll do a business hours because it's... this is the thing. If it's a preview screening...
It's at night.
And that would definitely bump into people we know.
100%.
They're all like radio peeps.
Definitely.
That are all on their email
list. But maybe it's falling off a bit. Maybe that's why they're reaching out, sending people like you that they didn't actually know who they're talking to.
I think that I'm just on a Melbourne bloggers. Should we do something with Melbourne Geek? Like, it got me thinking, is that worth... Like, there was a time where...
Is it .com?
Yeah, melbourne.geek.com.
It's a good domain.
It's all right.
Melbourne Geek.com. I mean, it pigeonholes you.
But literally, you can't even go there anymore. I think I updated something on my server and it's a month ago it. And it's just brought it down. But all the stuff is so old on there. But if I redid it, but then I don't want to be Melbourne Geek anymore. But if we were to, but I would do a segment on the Daily Talk Show.
Yeah.
A regular thing.
No, that's good.
But you're saying that you're getting pushed back because you don't know if you'll be able to come.
Here's the consideration that I have to make as a parent,
as a good dad,
as a good dad,
as a great dad.
In fact, not good, great. As a great dad, the movie is something that we used to go quite a few movies, drop stupid money.
Well, the reason that I probably mentioned it is because I don't go to that. Like, I saw the Lady Gaga one.
Oh, you did?
The Star is that? Star is Born. No.
Yeah. No, you were texting me in that film.
No, I wasn't.
No, we were texting.
No.
100%. We were texting you in that movie.
I don't tell. Oh, I wouldn't have responded.
You fell asleep. You talked to me for a little bit and then you fell asleep in the film.
No.
So if you're listening and you're in PR, we will do a better review than Josh.
That should not happen. I'm trying to think. I fall asleep in things, but I definitely didn't fall asleep. But how about this as a compromise rather than you doing it? Maybe that's something Bree and I could do.
Yeah.
And then once a fortnight, Bree will come on with me and we can talk about the film.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah?
Love it.
Do we have it? Do we need a name? Bree and I need like the couples.
What's the movie? Famous reviewers in Australia or like?
Margaret and David.
You're basically, it's the Margaret and David segment.
It's kind of
with Bree and Josh.
I do like that, you like a lot. That? Yeah, yeah.
So we'll probably get sued, cease and desist. You need to stop that Margaret and David segment, please.
Probably will. Time to wrap up, but can we cement this idea about the donuts?
Fat Fridays.
Okay.
I think it needs to be, because think about if we went to like a churros place. They'd be sick on a Friday.
Uh-huh.
So Conspiracy Jimmy, he has Fat Fridays with his staff.
Where do they go?
They get Uber Eats for lunch. And so they go, sometimes they get shitloads of Maccas. Sometimes they get like a heap of pizzas.
Okay.
So they just blow out a bit.
Okay, Fat Fridays. Yep. It's a thing. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. Where in Melbourne should we go? The lights are going off at Donut King. They're shutting down.
Yeah, maybe we could have people join us for Fat Friday.
Where should we go? And I think that we could definitely set up a bit of a thing.
Definitely.
So why don't we, the first one, Russ Keys, who listens to the show, he was messaging saying we should catch up. We should do it on Friday and do Fat Fridays. And maybe we can go to the first one. Let's do Friday at Easy's on Easy Street.
I like that. Easy's Burgers. Yeah. Epic. In a train.
It's not donut though. So, but Fat Fridays.
Fat Fridays. Fat Fridays.
Doesn't have to be donut.
Gives us a luxury.
Yeah. Okay.
We could do it from Mrs. Fields Cookies.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Fields is so good.
Yeah.
If you've got any suggestions though, send us an email. hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Otherwise... have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.
Are you excited for your weekend, mate?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that bit.
I just said, are you excited for the weekend? It was a clear end where you said, see you guys. I just felt like saying something else. Are you looking forward to the weekend?
Yeah, I am. But I think just some feedback on today's episode. If we're in a super place like this, I need a pair of headphones.
It's a bit quiet.
I can't hear you.
The title of the show. Have a good one, guys. Bye. See you.